because this is just insane to me. Like, Donald Trump has never taken anything off the table ever for any of his things ever. He didn't even take the military off the table for Greenland. For fucking Greenland. But that's not because he prefers to operate from some strategically ambiguous place or because he's trying to keep his eye. It's because he has no fucking idea what the fuck is going on. Ever.
He doesn't know what he's going to want to do tomorrow.
He has no idea.
In the Indian Ocean, and we'll play it on the screen there, an American submarine sunk an Iranian warship that thought it was safe in international waters. Instead, it was sunk by a torpedo. Quiet death. The first sinking of an enemy ship by a torpedo since World War II. Like in that war, back when we were still the War Department, we are fighting to win. In the Indian Ocean, and we'll play it on the screen there, an American submarine sunk an Iranian warship.
Wow! That's so cool! Okay, so I was kind of reading stuff online. Why are we in, why are we at war with Iran again? What was, do we give a reason for this? Or is this just kind of a, we just do whatever now, we ball? Rebus has planned Israeli action against Iran, prompted U.S. strikes. Okay. Not helping the Zog accusations over here, but okay, Rubio. Planned Israeli action against Iran that would have seen retaliation against American forces prompted the United States to launch its weekend strikes against Tehran, U.S. Secretary of State Marco Rubio said on Monday. We knew that there was going to be an Israeli action. We knew that that would precipitate an attack against American forces, and we knew that if we didn't preemptively go after them before they launched those attacks, we would suffer higher casualties. I don't believe literally any of this. One, I'm pretty sure the United States could make Israel fuck off if they wanted to. Pretty sure the U.S. could say, hey, we're not doing that, okay? Number one. Number two, if the U.S. was vocally and explicitly uninvolved in any strikes, I would be surprised if Iran would attack U.S. troops. That seems like it would be kind of crazy. Three, there was a third reason as well. I don't remember, but those are the two big ones. Oh, three, I don't even know if we would have suffered losses. We could have just moved our forces out in advance. We've done this before. Like, you, if you think there's going to be, like, some rumble going on, you pull your people out. Do you think that Trump is compromised? No, I just think, I think that Trump is a fucking pussy. I think Israel is an obvious winner for the Middle East in terms of military conflict goes. And it probably makes everybody, it makes all of our U.S. allies happy to see Iran fall, right? Like, everybody hates Iran. All your Saudi Arabia, obviously. Israel, obviously. I don't know what's going on in Iraq, but it's probably safe to assume that it probably helps the situation for U.S. interests in Iraq as well, for Iran to go. Yeah. Has Iran ever shown grace to the United States before? What do you mean by showing grace? I mean, they play by the rules. They play like you would expect a nation, a logical, rational nation state to play by, yeah. No warning, no siren. Six U.S. service members killed in Iranian strike that hit makeshift operations center in Kuwait. The first U.S. service members to die in the conflict between the U.S. and Iran were killed by a direct Iranian strike on a makeshift operations center at a civilian port in Kuwait on Sunday morning local time, a source familiar with the situation told CNN. The death toll from that attack at the Shuaiba port has since risen to 6. RIP. It hit a tactical operations center that was fortified, but there was one projectile that made it through air defenses.
Not good. There were 3 U.S. service members and 15 E's, or whatever, F-15Es, who got shot down as well.
E's?
For additional perspective on...
Yeah, they're like retrofitted with new technology F-15s.
Gotcha.
Mark Rutter, the Secretary General of NATO, standing by. He was listening to some of that press conference. Secretary General, it's good to have you with us on the program.
Good to be on the program. Good afternoon.
Let us pick up with the fast-moving events of the last 48, 72 hours. There is a disconnect between European capitals and the United States on military engagement in Iran. How does that complicate NATO's position?
Well, I would, to the contrary, say that Europeans are really stepping up. When you look at the comments by Chancellor Merz yesterday, who is now flying out to Washington for meetings tomorrow in the White House, absolutely supportive of what the Americans are doing, taking out the nuclear and the ballistic capability in Iran, which is a threat to us in Europe, a threat to Israel, to the region. Let's see how this develops over the next hours and days. But what I know from the Gulf nations is, of course, they totally condemn the fact that they have come under this indiscriminate attacks by Iran, which is basically lashing out now at its neighbors in the region, totally without any military reason, because they're hit.
I feel like Europe is getting ready to do their NATO exit. Not like formally or whatever, but I saw that, I think Macron said that they were going to start placing nuclear-capable missiles across different, was it EU states?
EU states, yeah, and Poland's building their own.
Hitting out at hotels and innocent civilians all over the region, so this is totally crazy. And this tells you something about the character of this regime and what they're willing and what they're up to, and therefore it's extremely important that also myself and I saw Ursula von der Leyen coming out, European Commission President on this.
Take on the school that got hit. Do you think it's more likely a failed Iran missile or USA/Israel that miss it? Given the precision of the USA and Israeli strikes, I would be surprised if they fucked up that badly. It's more likely an Iranian missile fail. That's like my priors, but I haven't like read anything in depth on it. So there might be more compelling reasons to say it was one side or the other.
Also, we coordinated this morning, and he said he's still looking into it.
With the partners in the region, that we really stay shoulder to shoulder here.
RAF Akrotiri is under attack. There's been another drone fired at the base today. Families are being evacuated. What are you doing as Secretary General to step up the defense of those bases, and particularly from the threat?
Satellite images show Iran school strike hit more buildings than earlier reported. Oh, okay, maybe this is true then. I guess if it's really right next to a military base, is that...
Dunebug said it was 600 meters away.
That seems pretty far away.
Yeah, it's like a fourth of a mile. Oh, this is a keynote clip.
Is it?
You'll concede this is war. You'll concede this is war.
We haven't declared war. They declared war on us, but we haven't.
Oh, no, they don't give you the start of it?
We haven't declared
just now, you said this is war.
They've called it war.
They've called it
war. Oh, that's a shitty clip.
Okay, well, that was a misspoke. What I was saying that they've declared war on us, but war is ugly. It always has been ugly. But we're taking out a regime that's been trying to attack us for quite some time.
But you're not.
We're not at war. We're just trying to take out a regime that's been against us for a long time.
Oh, have you not seen that? They're trying to say that we've been at war for 47 years.
Oh, okay. That's why Trump was saying that Kamala was going to start a war and Biden was going to start a war with Iran, right? Okay, gotcha.
Are there measures being taken not to eliminate other possible alternatives to leadership?
This is war, and we're taking out the threat. And if you're part of the threat, then you have then you're a target. You know, what we'd call not all the arrows, but going after the archers.
You'll concede this is war. You'll concede this is war.
We haven't declared war. They declared war on us, but we haven't.
War, Secretary Hexeth.
We haven't declared just now. You said this is war.
They've called it war.
They've called it war. What I was saying. Okay, well, that was a misspoke. What I was saying that they've declared war on us, but war is ugly. It always has been ugly. But we're at a. We're taking out a regime that's been trying to attack us for quite some time.
But you're not conceding this is war.
We have declared war.
People just don't want there is, I don't even know if there's like a legal definition in the United States for like war or what it means for Congress to do it. Like, it would be misleading to say we went to Iraq without declaring war, because Congress did authorize, there was the authorization for the use of military force, but it wasn't called a war. I don't know.
Is it a declaration of war? Specifically?
I think it's just like a thing you can just do or not do, but I don't think there's not like, I don't know if there's like a rule book when there's like a formal declaration made or whatever. But it's like a noun that people are treating like it has like this strict definition. But like in any sense of the word, if a country were to go to another country, invade it, capture their leader and leave, like you would call that like a war or like a warlike action. For Venezuela, it just doesn't seem like it because it was very fast, but...
That was a war-ish. I would say, like, the Russia thing, obviously, with Ukraine, that's a fucking war. Mm-hmm. This is a war.
But war is just, it's like a vibe thing. Like, you kind of, you kind of, like, vibe out, like, what is a war versus what is not a war. But it's not, like, a strict, like, we are at war, now all this stuff is going to change, and we are not at war, so none of this is going to change, basically, yeah.
Would you say that we were at war when the United States went and bombed the nuclear facilities in Iran?
Yeah, I would say these are war actions. You're literally doing missile attacks on other countries. Yeah, Jesus. Yeah.
So if we haven't declared war, then I don't see that. The president hasn't asked us to declare war yet, but they have declared war on us. We're just simply fighting the threat that's been at our door for 47 years.
Senator, aren't you just ignoring
you? I've already answered the question.
Senator, you know that that ask could be coming, that an ask from...
Epic. The president's decision here is extraordinary. It's known as Operation Epic Fury, which I gotta say is just awesome. The operation names from the administration, top notch. Midnight Hammer was great last year. Operation Epic Fury, yeah, man. Epic Fury. The president.
I can't watch his shit. I can't take him seriously anymore. I just hear the Jew thing screaming in my fucking head every time I see him.
On all the latest developments, we turn now to our panel of experts. Holly Dagres is a senior fellow at the Washington Institute for Near East Policy. That's a Washington think tank. She spent her teenage years in Tehran and now curates The Iranist. That's a weekly Substack newsletter. Alan Ayer served in the U.S. government for 4 decades. He was part of the Obama administration's negotiating team for the Joint Comprehensive Plan of Action, or JCPOA, deal with Iran. He's now at the Middle East Institute. And retired Colonel Joel Rayburn served in the Army for 26 years. During the first Trump administration, he was on the National Security Council staff focusing on Iran in the Middle East. He's now a senior fellow at the Hudson Institute. Thank you all for being here. Holly, I'll begin with you because we've seen in our reporting an evolution of messaging from the administration. President Trump calling for regime change a couple of days ago. Secretary of Defense Sexton now saying it's not about regime change. What's your reaction to that, and how is all that resonating in Iran?
Well, the messages that are conflicting, and it is a bit disturbing because, you know, the sense that some Iranians on the ground got was that they were actually going to see some sort of change inside the country. And this was started, of course, with that unprecedented massacre in January, and President Trump saying that help is on the way, take over your institutions. And it seems that we're hearing from senior U.S. officials that they do want the Iranian people to take control of their own future. But at this juncture, much of the clerical establishment is still in power, so it's hard to envision that. And just on the note that President Donald Trump said that he would very much like to see a Venezuela model, and he said three of his top choices were killed in the past 3 days. But in January, Iranians were really worried about that prospect because
even if that's true, why would you say that? God, he's so stupid.
Do not want this regime. So any kind of deal of that sort with a different face of the Islamic Republic would be contrary to what most of the anti-regime Iranian population stands for.
Colonel Rayburn, what do you make of that? The prospects of someone in the current regime stepping up to take over, is that a potential plan and is it a good one?
Well, whether it's a good one or not, I think would depend on the way the next several days, couple of weeks goes in terms of whether that could result, whether you could actually have the remnants of the current regime that actually had the credibility and the capacity to stabilize the country on terms that would be acceptable to the United States and our allies. I think that's a serious question. Militarily speaking, though, the outcome of this confrontation, I think, is a foregone conclusion. So you're going to wind up, in any case, with the remnants of a regime there in Tehran that I think don't have the military wherewithal to do anything other than capitulate at some point on the terms that the president is going to offer.
Ellen, what do you make of that? And also the prospects of people in Iran rising up. Do you see that happening?
I think it's I wouldn't characterize it as the remnants of the regime. The regime is more than just the individuals, some of whom may live through this, many of whom will not. It's institutions. And I see no indication that currently those institutions are weak or fraying, or that you can destroy these institutions from the air. So in terms of regime change, for that to happen, two things would have to happen. The current institutions, interlocking institutions like the IRGC, mm-hmm. the Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps, would have to be destroyed kinetically from the air, which I think is improbable. And then you would have to have a substitute interlinking functional series of institutions to plug in its place. And I think that's even more improbable. So I think the most likely outcome is after 4 weeks or so, you'll have a vastly degraded command structure in the Islamic Republic, but the core institutions in one way or another will still remain.
Colonel, the U.S. president has not ruled out U.S. troops on the ground. Is that a good idea?
Well, I think, you know, President Trump is somebody who likes to keep his options open. He likes strategic ambiguity. He wouldn't like to rule out, I think, a military option this early in a campaign. But I think the objectives that have been laid out so far by the president, by Secretary of State Rubio, and then very...
I know this will never change and I'm just fucking screaming into the abyss, but I don't like it when we treat retards with this charitable interpretation of everything they do and pretend it's like serious. Trump is not a person who likes to keep his options open and prefers strategic ambiguity. He is a retard with no plans who is willing to do anything. That's it. And that's how it should always be expressed. When people are like, are you ruling out troops on the road? And Trump's like, I'm not ruling out anything. What he's saying is, I have no fucking idea what the fuck is going to go on in 2 weeks. Who the fuck knows what we're going to be doing? That's what he means. And to pretend that this is some... I wish I had... Oh, fuck. I just want to retire and start streaming over again and get like... I need like this fan base. Fuck you guys. Anytime you say or do something fucking retarded, there's a 5D plan or there's some like ultra charitable, insanely kind explanation for the most retarded fucking shit in the world, because this is just insane to me. Like, Donald Trump has never taken anything off the table ever for any of his things ever. He didn't even take the military off the table for Greenland, for fucking Greenland. But that's not because he prefers to operate from some strategically ambiguous place or because he's trying to keep his eye. It's because he has no fucking idea what the fuck is going on ever.
He has no idea what he's going to want to do tomorrow.
He has no idea. So,
but like, how are the generals, how do they not have a plan? Like, they must because come all, to him and
no,
be like,
because
sir.
Because everybody got replaced with sycophants. Before, the generals did have a plan. Yes, because before, like when Trump was on the way out and he was like, I want you to pull every motherfucker out of Afghanistan. Fuck this place and fuck Biden, right?
Yeah.
They said no. They were like, we're actually going to go ahead and not do that, okay? Eat shit, you fucking loser. Like, they said no. They said there's going to be a catastrophe. We're not doing it. Like, this is, but those people are all gone, and now it's all been wiped out with fucking schizo, sycophantic, obsessive cult worshipers.
Early in a campaign. Yeah. But I think the objectives that have been laid out so far by the president, by Secretary of State Rubio, and then very clearly today by General Dan Kane, the chairman of the Joint Chiefs, those are some very clear military objectives of finishing the elimination of the Iranian regime's nuclear program, eliminating its ballistic missile capability, eliminating the IRGC Navy, the part of the regime that has the mission of potentially disrupting the Strait of Hormuz and the Persian Gulf, and then severing its ties with its military proxies. And as Chairman Kane put it very interestingly today, I think it's the first time someone stated what the mission of the theater command is, the operational command, U.S. Central Command. He said it was essentially to prevent the Iranian regime or Iran from having the ability to project power beyond its borders. Mm-hmm. And that's a very clear kind of end state. It says the military phase of that, you could have... I think it's the first time someone stated what the mission of the theater command is, the operational command, U.S. Central Command. He said it was essentially to prevent the Iranian regime or Iran from having the ability to project power beyond its borders.
Mm-hmm. What does that mean? So that's like the complete and total destruction of a country. Because what else... Well, that's destroying everything. What do you mean? What? Okay.
That's a very clear kind of end state. It says the military phase of that, you could have, as Alan wouldn't say, the remnants of a regime in Tehran that are still there somehow, somewhat intact, but have no ability to damage the region beyond their borders or international security.
Holly, we have heard more from U.S. officials about justification in the original U.S. and Israeli attacks. Does that line up for you in terms of what they're saying, that there was a potential imminent threat, that the U.S. is acting both defensively and proactively?
I mean, we're getting a lot of mixed messaging right now, and it just, I'm not entirely sure what exactly led to this, because essentially, if we remember, there was a massacre in January, and it was that reason that Trump wanted to respond to that, and he sent assets into the region for that very reason.
You're referencing the regime cracking down.
That's pretextual. Donald Trump doesn't give a fuck. Why are we pretending to do analysis? I don't understand. Like, there's got to be, you know what this feels like? Have you ever seen people that do the, am I making this up? Like pinball racing?
Oh, welcome back. Yeah. Oh, yeah, race. Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Come in at fourth and fifth.
Yeah.
Racing. Mystery swirl.
Like, this is a joke because it's funny, because they have no agency. It's just marbles following physics, right? But you comment on this, or I think there used to be people that did, is it guinea pig racing? Or the
guinea pig racing, baby racing.
Yeah.
Guinea
pig Olympics. But it's funny to listen to the people like talk about it, because it's like, well, obviously they're just doing like random shit. But like, imagine you had people that were doing actual hardcore substantive analysis of like the fucking guinea pig Olympics. Like, he's been training hard. Like, that's what it feels like listening to these people talk about the Trump regime. Or I'm not saying they have to just go on here and say he's retarded. But yeah. I think we need to, unfortunately, get into like just a tad bit of like psychological analysis. Like, why the fuck is Trump doing this? To be like, well, I think in response to the civilians being killed in Iran, I think that Donald Trump, like, what, he feels for the people of Iran? Are you fucking serious? This dude wants to and has like sanctioned the country into the fucking dirt. This guy tore up the JCPOA with no other plan to put in place. Like, he clearly doesn't give a fuck about, sometimes people even in his own country, like it's just such a joke. It's such a joke analysis, right? Like, the protesters are pretextual. Trump is glad when those protesters die, because it might give him some excuse to do shit in the country in the future.
It was that reason that Trump wanted to respond to that, and he sent assets into the region for that very reason.
You're referencing the regime cracking down on protests.
Yes, the anti-regime uprising in January. And before that, we heard in December Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, during his meeting with President Donald Trump, saying that ballistic missiles were a very big issue. So it seems like the goalposts are moving around frequently about what the modus operandi of this war was, and it seems like it's a very different from why assets were moved in January.
So everything? No missiles? At all?
Oh, breaking news from War Monitor 3. Kurdish forces in Iran have launched a ground invasion into Iran. Or in Iraq have launched
How
a ground invasion.
How many Kurdish forces can even exist? Like, what are we talking about for numbers here?
Well, there's like 30 million Kurdish people, so...
Really?
I'm not sure.
God damn. But that's probably spread...
In the entire Middle East, right?
Correct.
Yeah, yeah.
Kurdish people.
I'm pretty. Living. I don't know. It kind of seems like Kurdish people are just fucking. They're like a warrior clan.
Well, it's like an ethnic group that's like kind of wanted its own country for a while, and they've kind of been around. Like, I think in Iraq, I think it's the most stable. The KRG, then their military faction is called the Peshmerga, right? I think the Kurds in Iraq are the most stable group of Kurdish people, right? And then they exist in Turkey, where they get killed all day. And then they exist in northern Syria, where they get killed by Turkey all day.
Didn't the U.S. use the Iraqi Kurds like three times?
Oh, somebody said there are 10 million Kurds in Iran. There might be a ton in Iran, but also I think that Iran has...
Iran's their biggest, like, landmass region.
Yeah, but I think... Oh, man, don't quote me on this, but, like, I think Iran is, like, a country that has cities, and then there's, like, a whole lot of, like, rural, mountainous stuff out there that's not as...
It's like Canada.
Big as, like, it's not, like, all, like, Tehran. Well, yeah, except there are people that live out there and shit, but I don't know how much these people... Like the organization or the... capability weapons wise or how much these people are even connected to what's going on in the outside world. I don't know that much.
Anywhere to where it is now.
Ellen, is it clear to you 3 days in now, and as the president projects that this is a campaign that could go on 4 to 5 weeks, what the objectives are?
I think this administration is trying to justify the war the same way Jackson Pollock used to paint. You just throw up.
Do I know this? Has this guy spoken somewhere else, or is this guy, does he sound like somebody from a movie?
He was in
movie?
The Obama administration.
No, but I feel like I've seen this guy in some war movie or something that sounds really similar and maybe even looks a little bit like him. Who the fuck am I thinking of?
I think this administration is trying to justify the war the same way Jackson Pollock used to paint. You just throw a bucket of reasons up against a canvas.
Oh, also, thank you! Thank you!
And hope the result looks good. It said, for example, there's an imminent threat to the U.S. Well, the intelligence community said that the Iranian nuclear weapons program stopped in 2003. President Trump said the underlying Iranian nuclear energy program was obliterated in June of last year, and it's still under rubble. Okay.
Thank you.
Missiles. Iranian missiles are a threat to the United States. That falls short of the truth by about 4,000 miles. Okay. So you then go to the other set of reasons. This is a preventative war because Iran is hostile and might one day be a real threat. Well, if that's the case, if we're doing preventative wars now to prevent countries that might one day be a threat, is North Korea in line?
The architect from the Matrix? No.
Is China in line? Is Russia in line? I don't think so. So as Holly said, a real threat. Well, if that's the case, if we're doing preventative wars now to prevent countries that might one day be a threat, is North Korea in line? Is China in line? Is Russia in line? I don't think so. So, as Holly said, I can't make head or tails out of the reason this administration put forward for this war.
Colonel Lass.
It's literally just that Israel told us to do it and we're doing it, Shrimp Alas. Yeah, probably, yeah. Do you believe in peace through strength? Yes, but people misunderstand what this point means. Because I had that argument with that guy. I don't even know if most of my fan base did me on this. When you say that you have peace through strength, when you have to show the strength, that means that you're weak. It seems a little bit counterintuitive, but the idea is, if you're fucking around, right? Imagine if you're fucking around and then dad walks in the room and the kids continue to fuck around and then dad spanks them, right? That, I mean, like, he's obviously larger and he spanks them or whatever, but in your mind, you're thinking, okay, well, the kids just don't respect the dad that much, right? But imagine when kids are fucking around and then dad comes in the room and everybody shuts the fuck up. Dad doesn't have to beat the kids because the kids know that shit is fucked. That's peace through strength. It's the... walk softly and carry a huge dick. Yes, stick. Yes, that's what peace through strength means. When you constantly have to flex fucking everywhere, then it shows that you're weak. Nobody's taking you seriously. Do you really truly believe it's just Israel said so and Trump is doing it, really? Yes, but not in a way where, like, Trump is being mind controlled by the Zog and mindfuck, but more so that Israel's like, listen, bro, think about all the fucking wins you've got here in the Middle East. And also, look, these poor protesters are being killed. You're going to look great to Americans. Israel loves you. You do have a ton of fucking Jewish donors and AIPAC and all these people that you're friends with. And also, we got rid of Assad. Imagine if you're the one to take down the brutal Iranian regime. Wasn't Iran the country that... Did Joe Biden increase Secret Service for Trump because supposedly there was an Iranian plot to assassinate Trump? I believe so,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, they were talking about
Trump already assassinated Soleimani, who was the head of the, it was either the IRGC or the Quds Force in the IRGC, I forget. But I think probably the head of the whole IRGC, right? Soleimani was really well known. Was it just the Quds Force? Okay, but he was a really well-respected Iranian person. Trump has hated Iran for a long time, right? He tore up the JCPOA. Like, this is your chance to fucking settle it all. Like, I'm sure there's a heavy push from Israel. And without that, I doubt Trump would have done this. But also, like, Saudi Arabia is like, listen, I'm not saying that you should kill the dude, but if you did, I'm not going to tell my friends I approve, but you know. So, I mean, like, we just have no...
I mean, France kind of said that today a little bit. They were like, this violates international law, but no one's going to weep for the guys. Like,
yeah. And yeah, Trump is just a weak. The problem is you don't traditionally see weak men or weak people as president of the United States of America. So it's hard to evaluate his actions. Normally, when people are manipulating you or pushing you, they're having to do so because it's contraindicative of your own personal ideology or vision. Trump has none. There's nothing that all Israel has to do, or anybody has to do, is say like, yo, if you did this shit, it would fucking, you know, pump your dick up like 2 inches. And Trump be like, fucking A, let's go. That's it. That's all let's he has go. To do. And generally speaking, Israel is going to be largely aligned with U.S. interests, right? Assad, how do you say his name? Khomeini or whatever?
Khomeini?
The supreme leader. Like, these are people who are already aligned with Russia. You know, it works. It's just going to naturally play out the way that it is. I will say, though, if I was Ukrainian, I would be killing myself more and more every single day seeing how adventurous and brave the United States is when it comes to literally anything except for an actual fucking adversary like Russia.
You to respond to what we just heard from Alan. Are these other countries in line, if this is the reasoning?
Well, no, look, as I've said before, we're in a post-October 7th environment here. The Iranian regime posed a very real, concrete threat to the region around it, to Israel and other of our allies, by joining that war on October 8th. And really,
oh my God. Who is this guy? What's his last name? Rothstein? Rothschild? Goldenstein? Who's this dude over here? The fuck? Come on.
It said, like, ex-colonel for Trump.
Concrete threat to the region around it, to Israel and other of our allies, by joining that war on October 8th. And really, Hamas used on October 7th a capability that the Iranian regime equipped it with over a course of more than 15 years. So I think, you know, October 7th, October 8th, then the missile attacks in 2024, 2025 by the Iranians on Israel. This is the culmination of what was Ali Khamenei's very aggressive, very hostile foreign policy.
Oh, wow. So better to be a paper tiger like Obama. Draw red lines and don't follow through. That's actual strength, according to you. First of all, nice whataboutism, number one. Number two, I think the Obama red line thing was not good, okay? But number three, where's Gaddafi at? So don't pretend that, like, nothing happened, okay, with the Clinton State Department with Barack Obama. Don't pretend like he didn't fucking do anything, okay? Stop.
Didn't he bomb the most people? Like, he did the most fucking drones and shit?
I don't know.
Policy in the region and beyond. They continued to intervene in European security by providing the Russians with the military means to attack Ukrainian cities. So
how does your interpretation of show of force correspond to your theory of power projections in countries all across time and cultures? I don't know, but I'm going to vibe it out. And I'm probably right that the most powerful societies were not ones that had to go to war to keep every single person underneath their control into perpetuity. That when they started doing that, that was probably when the empire was on its way out, because people were perceiving the empire to be weak rather than they were constantly at war with fucking everybody in order to maintain their vassal states or their constituencies or whatever the fuck else, we might guess.
This is a regime that was posing a threat to U.S. interests, U.S. allies, not just in the region, but beyond. So I don't think they were just sitting there not doing any harm.
Is Israel on net stabilizing or destabilizing? What's your opinion these days? There's a hard one to answer. In terms of the style of regime, being a democratic regime that's largely aligned with U.S. interests from a U.S. perspective, and I tend to favor democratic regimes over monarchies or authoritarian regimes, I would say that on net they are stabilizing. But they're going to be highly destabilizing to other actors in the area that aren't aligned with their interests. So take for that, which, like, on net, I guess it depends on the perspective of where you're coming from. Like, if you're... Yeah, that's... I would say, yeah.
Threat to U.S. interests, U.S. allies, not just in the region, but beyond.
The red line thing was serious gas attack use. Just heads up, because you said Gaddafi. No, yeah, because Gaddafi was... Hold on. Let me make sure I have my... Gaddafi, was that like 2011? Yes. That's why I brought up Gaddafi, because we got rid of that dude. That wasn't a paper tiger thing. That guy was gonzo garbanzo. The red line had to do with, yes, it was saying that if, I think it was just, wasn't it a threat of just a no-fly zone or something if they did chemical weapons attacks and then they did an Obama to do anything? But, I mean, he shouldn't have drawn that red line if he wasn't prepared to follow through with it, but.
So I don't think they were just sitting there not doing any harm and then, you know, the Trump administration decided out of nowhere to attack them.
Lots more to cover in the days and weeks ahead, it looks like. Alan Ayer, Colonel Joel Rayburn, Holly Digress, thank you very much.
I hate your foreign policy analysis so much, especially when it comes to Trump. You make no effort to analyze the actual events unfolding and just disregard everything because Trump is a retard. Bro, I just listened to for the past year, my president is talking about invading fucking Greenland. What do you want me to analyze, bro?
And Canada.
Like, but I just had to listen to my dude. This guy, 1984, is new enemies of the U.S. like every fucking 6 months. Apparently, Venezuela was the number one threat to the fucking United States, such that we had to go and invade them. Nobody in the United States thought shit about that. They would have told you fucking Mexico, or maybe Colombia or some fucking meme answer. Nobody in the United States was thinking Venezuela before Trump made a huge fucking deal out of it. I don't even know if Trump actually thought they were a deal, or if they thought that the fucking they only did the whole invasion to go to the cemetery where Hugo Chavez is buried because he thinks he's still controlling Dominion voting machines from the grave. I don't know. That might there's like a non-zero chance that he could actually fucking think that. The guy speaks in lies so much, but he's also fucking crazy. He also believes a lot of like crazy retarded shit. I don't know what you want me to say. Do you think that Biden deteriorated a lot of American deterrence? Why was the U.S. letting Houthis shoot missiles and ships and just doing interceptions? Didn't we bomb a few missile platforms under Biden? Didn't we take out a few in the country? Why was he always scared of Russian nuclear saber rattling when arming Ukraine? Why did he do nothing when Maduro went back on the sanctions waiver? So for letting the Houthis shoot missiles, we counterbombed their missile installations. I mean, I don't know what else, save for what, you want a full ground invasion into Yemen? Like, this was an area that we'd already pulled out of a coalition against, right? The Saudi Arabian one, who'd been bombing them for, what, the better part of the last decade prior to Biden pulling out of that? You had a place where tens of thousands of people had been starving to death. And then on top of all of that, you have the, just imagine for a second the U.S. president wants to go and start a war in Yemen while Israel is fucking raising the Gaza Strip over and over and over again. And now we're also going to go to war with Yemen, a place that's had more children die of starvation, you know, in 5 years than the total amount of Palestinians that even died in the totality of this most recent war. I don't know where the appetite would have been for that in American politics, internationally. I don't know what the... That just seems like an untenable position to me. Like, we bombed their missile installations. I'm not sure what more we could have... Not really at all, just symbolic bombings. What do you mean? We bombed missile platforms. How is that symbolic? The Houthis only agreed to stop the campaign after the Trump admin stepped up the bombings. And that wasn't a war with Yemen, by the way. You were just not informed. Okay, cool. Yes, true. Play word games. Bombing other sovereign states with your own military is definitely not a war. Absolutely true.
Let's get him in here.
True. No, I have to talk to Hutch pretty soon. Why was he always scared of Russian nuclear saber rattling when arming Ukraine? There's an argument to be made for Biden arming Ukraine faster, but if I had to guess, and I know this upsets some people, hopefully Anna's not listening, I don't know if anybody had any idea what the Ukrainians would do in the beginning of that war. Like, I don't know if anybody actually knew what the capacity for Ukraine to fight would be, because it's easy now to say that, oh, well, we should have just given them a fuck ton of stuff right in the beginning. But remember that Ukraine has, again, I love my Ukrainian people, has a history of being a historically insanely corrupt country, right? Leading up to Euromaidan, a lot of this had to do with literally like oligarchical control of different sections of the economy, with the idea that that Yanukovych was about to sell out his fucking people as some basically Russian puppet government guy. That, like, this is a country that had a whole bunch of different issues going on with it. And then, regardless of issues, even if it was a stable country absent corruption, the idea that you start a war, imagine we pump how many different weapons and arms into that country, and then imagine they fall to Russia in 2 weeks anyway. It's like, well, fuck, what do you want to... Yeah. With the damn autopsy revealing Gaza as a huge reason for the loss, do you pin more blame on Netanyahu for keeping bombing and agreeing to the Biden drafted ceasefire plan at 3-phase-1 and campaigning for Trump, shitting on Obama and Joe? I don't know how that's too much of a run on sense for me. I don't know. I would have to look at their autopsy about the Gaza stuff. Like, Gaza could have been the reason for the loss, but it's one of those things where, like, when you talk about, like, the straw that broke the camel's back, like, technically, like, anything could have been the cause, depending on how you view it. Like, what was the cheeseburger you ate, or what was the piece of food you ate that made you throw up if you overeat a ton of shit? I mean, technically any one piece could have been the thing. Ukrainians were asking for closing the sky since the start of the war. Yeah, but a no-fly zone over Ukraine, which I think would be based, is essentially like the first time almost ever, maybe ever, that two nuclear powers are going to be going to war with each other. That's like a very, 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 very scary thing. I don't think anybody in the world was ready for that, even for Ukraine, you know? Our Mearsheimer dude, what do we got?
100%. Well, it's not 100% clear to me, General, and that's not to suggest that I don't support 100% what is happening, nor that I 100% offer.
Red lines are intentionally ambiguous, otherwise they won't work. It's very easy to say that in hindsight. I don't know if that's true. If you red line and you let people walk over it, it does cut against you. Makes you look like unserious, yeah.
My support. I just think I want to ask, well, it's not 100% clear to me, General, and that's not to suggest that I don't support 100% what is happening, nor that I 100% offer my support. I just think I want to ask a couple of critical questions, and I hope you know how much respect I have for your service, and I think it goes without saying to anybody watching how much respect I have for the men making this decision.
You don't have to patronize me. Just ask the question. Go ahead. Come on, ask it.
To be clear, General, I'm not patronizing you. I'm trying to have a very serious conversation in front of the American people. The men making these decisions have my utmost respect. This is less about you than everybody making these decisions. And this is about the American people understanding the investment that lies before
them. What the fuck was the question, damn it?
I don't know. We don't get it. Expand the Houthis didn't stop their attacks under Biden, but did under Trump. I don't know. I would have to look at the timeline for how much they were attacking. I don't even know if Trump... I know that Trump did strikes in Yemen. I don't know if those were even more or less than what Trump did. There's also a time factor as well, too, though, where when the war is hot... So, like, for instance, a lot of people want to give Trump credit for winding down the war between Israel and Gaza, but, like, all wars wind down after some point in time, and it was, what, 8 or 9 months into Trump's administration before, there was... finally, whatever fucking ceasefire they have now. It's kind of like when you take, like if you get a cold and then after 4 days you drink some lemonade and then you start getting better and it's like, oh, I guess the lemonade cured me. Well, I mean, you're going to get better eventually. Like it's not.
Can't go on forever.
Yeah.
Or you could die, I guess.
Obama didn't back down from the Syrian red line because he didn't want to go in. It was because Congress didn't want us to. That still makes you look weak, though. Should just fucking done it, apparently. That's what Trump does. Or gotten the vote beforehand or something. Yeah. Well, that's not good. Low-resolution satellite imagery appears to show a fire on the deck of a U.S. Navy Arleigh Burke-class destroyer in the Arabian Sea, possibly the result of an impact by an Iranian anti-ship missile. Why is this not good, or what do you mean? This would align with the
argument. How can you tell from this fucking image?
What do you mean? Just look at it, you like, retard.
I'm fucking colorblind. Am I missing something here?
Yeah, it's very clear. I thought we didn't have destroyers anymore. I thought we stopped shipping those ships.
Was that the destroyer or the battleship?
I don't fucking know. Destroyers have missiles now? What, did they not before? No, that's battleships.
Holy shit, I was right.
Battleships or battlecruisers? Were those two different classes in EVE? Battleships and battle... It goes, in EVE it was a frigate, then a destroyer, then a cruiser, then a battlecruiser.
Probably, I think, because that was like the Ishtar.
And then a dreadnought was next? And then a carrier?
I think it went carriers, dreadnoughts, titans.
That's battleships. Okay.
Oh, yeah, we had super carriers, too.
Somebody said guided missile destroyers are a big chunk of the U.S. surface fleet. Okay.